How would you describe yourself? Fun? Sporty? Bold? If that's the case, meet the Kia K4 hatchback, made for motion, adventure, and whatever you might decide to bring along. Or would you say you're more smooth, sleek, refined? If so, there's the Kia K4 sedan. Calm, confident, and ever so modern. Two personalities, two available turbocharged ways forward. The Kia K4 GT Line Turbo and the K4 Hatchback GT Line Turbo. What turbos you? Turbo is available on select K4 trims.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome in 5 o'clock hour. Jay Binkley, Nathan Williams with you. Rob and CDOT on their way to the Northland for the old Papa Shot competition. So give them some time to get up there. What's up, my friend?
Binkley, how are you? Yeah, the guys get to go play at an arcade for a little while. We were stuck here doing the show. What's up with that?
It's a little Papa Shot, man. It's a great game. Great game. Love to have the home version, right? Got some brews, have some friends, a little Papa Shot. So good luck to everybody tonight at the Papa Shot competition. As people getting into tournament fever, like Cody and Gold will be at ITAP tomorrow with Drew. So it's tournament fever. You in tournament fever? Did you watch the games last night?
Of course, yeah. It's now the World Baseball Classic over, all of my attention's on the tournament, Bink, and it's going to be like upper 70s, sunny. You got four games on at all times tomorrow. I might find myself out there with Cody and Gold at ITAP. That's going to be the place to be tomorrow,
It's going to be the place to be, but now the WBC is over, like you said. Good stuff. Let's go ahead and play the hits.
Your workday is over.
Oh, yeah.
You're headed home, and now you're stuck in traffic. Time to get caught up on the biggest stories in Kansas City and around the country with CDOT and Rob. It's time for the hits. Number one.
Before we get to the WBC, Bink, we have to shout out the Salvation Army. The hits are brought to you by the Salvation Army. Get your tickets today at kickhungerkc.com for Salvation Army's Civic Lunch on May 7th. Well, Bink, the ratings are out for the semifinal portion of the WBC. Earlier in the bracket, U.S.-Mexico set a record with 5.02 million viewers. That was broken by 47% between the U.S. and the Dominican Republic, averaged 7.37 million viewers, the highest in the tournament's history.
And the one thing about it is, it was well done. I mean, the whole intros, the whole thing was great, the WBC. But the thing about it was, Nathan, that was on FS1. Like, it was FS1. It wasn't on the main Fox over the year that everybody can get with the rabbit ears or whatever. We'll get to that in just a second. But everybody can get it. It's like watching the football on Sunday over the air. So FS1, to have those ratings for that game, that was the one that was Sunday night opposite of the Oscars, which nobody watched. But the semifinal over Dominican, 7.37 million viewers. That game on FS1 and Fox Deportes set a milestone as the most watched WBC broadcast ever on any network in the event's 20-year history, as you said, beating the prior mark by 47%. Unreal ratings for it, and they haven't put out, I haven't seen last night's, which was the championship, so it should be way up there when you consider it was over the air on Fox, so you get that bump being an over-air game.
You do, and I would imagine the peak has to be significantly higher than that for last night's game. Harper hitting the tying home run in the bottom of the eighth. I think if you are a baseball fan peaked. And you weren't tuning in at that point, I think you're running to your TV set at that point in time.
Per Sportico, they say Major League Baseball riding a wave of momentum with 3 years of attendance gains, soaring TV ratings, a crop of young stars, and expanded global appeal. I agree with 100% of that. The ratings are extremely good for Major League Baseball. I know it's a bad look when, eight teams had to kind of shed FanDuel. Not really FanDuel, but it was Main Street and all that. They were the name on it, but teams like the Royals had to find, you know, a place, a broadcast partner like the Cardinals and others. And they will get less money this year for it, but I think it's going in the right direction, especially when attendance is up and people are actually talking about the stars. Because that's always been the main thing, Nathan. Like, you're diehard, so you know these guys. I mean, when they walk around, you can understand them. I'll tell you this, we almost said Michael, because that's what his name was, but he's going by Michael now, I guess. So if
that,
you heard,
that should be hit number one. It's Michael Garcia.
If you're saying Michael Garcia, it's formerly known as Mikel Garcia, but Michael Garcia. Now, he could go incognito anywhere. I mean, this guy was the MVP, you know, last night. This guy could literally walk anywhere and no one would know who he was. I'm not 100% sure Bobby Witt Jr. couldn't walk any place without people. Now, Judge different because he's so big.
That's how it's been in baseball for, I mean, a long time. I mean, I would say sports outside of take like the NBA or the NHL, maybe in a city where the team is really good and they have a superstar, it's kind of been the trend. Outside of a guy like Judge and then Otani. Bink, I did travel to Japan a couple years ago. That guy's face is everywhere in Japan. And in L.A., same marketing as well. I think he's sort of straying into that as well. But outside of that, Bobby Witt Jr. could walk down the streets of Philadelphia.
Yeah, Otani. Nobody would bother. Otani, everybody knows him. He's global. But I'm saying he could make upwards of $125 million just in endorsements. Uh-huh. It's insane money for Shohei Otani.
Yeah. Michael Garcia, same thing. And he's the World Baseball Classic MVP.
It was fun to watch. And, you know, this is what people are watching, man. They're watching sports. And whether people want to gravitate towards it or not, but these networks, they understand. It's whether the NFL is about to sit down with all these broadcasting partners and CBS and Fox and have them re-up and, you know, join the bandwagon because everybody wants to watch live sports. It's evident. I mean, the Oscars were on the other night. I never watch it anyway. I don't like award shows, to be honest with you. But they had 45 million people watching in 96. 2006, 36 million. 2026, down 17 million. It was 34 million in just 10 years ago in 2016. It went in half. And of course, that was the same night as the WBC. People like live sports. Again, 93 of the top 100 programs in America were football, was the National Football League. 93 of the top 100, meaning it is tough to beat any kind of live sporting events. This is what people want to watch. It's what they want to see. I mean, they've spoken. It's not about the TV shows. Everybody's streaming those now and whatever. It is about live content, especially sports is what moves the needle.
Yeah, I'm getting my news on my phone. I'm getting my TV shows in bulk where I can stream them. I can binge them on the apps. I haven't watched a TV program that isn't a live sporting event in years. And that used to be something where someone looked at me and say, well, you're young. You're the new wave. But we have completely transitioned to that point as a society.
You know, I was shocked last night. You're sitting there and you want to see the I'm not a fan of the pregame shows. Obviously, Derek Jeter rubbed people the wrong way with the whole, you know, kind of dig at Kansas City. Is this?
That was BS.
Remind you of Kansas City at all? Yeah, I was too. It's kind of like, whoa, slow down here. You are talking about the number one market for the WBC in all the country. Kansas City's number one. So you are attacking the number one people watching this. And let's face it, since 2015, you got a World Series. You've got three Super Bowl titles. You've had the NFL draft. You got the World Cup coming. Kansas City's much different, man. You can say whatever you want about it. It used to be flyover country and this and that. When you're holding the NFL draft and you're holding the World Cup, and you've got a World Series, three Super Bowl championships, not including sporting one and one themselves. It's Title Town USA. This town shows out, don't they? I mean, it's no longer the same Kansas City people used to talk about in different terms. So I didn't get that whole reference, to be honest with you, because it has become the sports epicenter, to be quite honest with you. And when the ratings show it, Kansas City, does this surprise you at all? They were number one. When they have the Olympic ratings that come out, Kansas City's always top five. It didn't matter what's on, Kansas City's watching it if it's sports.
Well, it is. Especially if it's an elimination game or something of that sort. Even if it's the NHL, the NBA, a league that the Kansas City doesn't have a team in, they will be the highest rated market outside of the team with those cities in them consistently. And also, Derek Jeter didn't ask these questions to other players on other teams. But Michael Garcia got asked that, and Salvador Perez got asked something similar in an interview after, and you and I were talking about his response in the bullpen. It was fantastic. The guy said no hate to Kansas City, and I honestly didn't feel hate from his answer either. But his answer about playing for his country and what that means, I understand what those guys meant, and I'm not mad at them for giving that answer, but the way Jeter asked it was ridiculous. But back to your point about the pregame show, you know, you got Dusty Likens, who's probably the biggest Wheel of Fortune fan in the world so that sees completely opposite of you on this point.
Fun game show. But there are nights where you can skip it, man. It's on every night during the week. There are nights to skip it. And you know when you can skip it? When it's the Kansas City Royals, some of the stars in the game as Team USA is going for a championship against Venezuela. Yes. And there were other people upset about this. Dusty, as a matter of fact, I was talking to him. He sent me a link of somebody who was like talking to Channel 4 and saying, where the hell's the pregame show? Because on the guy that showed it, on the guy that said the pregame show is on. And they even moved Wheel of Fortune like 11 o'clock at night, one other night where the WBC kind of interfered with it. But it was on the guide as WC pregame. And that's where you're freaking out, kind of like, are they still going to show this championship game? Are they? And I know it's not the people there, the host, you know, the anchors that are doing the news. It's higher up, higher ups in the suits. But seriously, though, I'd love an explanation because a lot of sports fans are upset that here's Salvi and Michael Garcia, Bobby Witt Jr., and Avila and all these guys. Here's a bunch of Kansas City guys in this. And Kansas City led in hits and everything else. They were the stars of the WBC. It was the Kansas City Royals show, to be honest with you. But so you had USA going for gold, basically. It was a big event. You had Royals stars all over the place. And they're showing freaking Wheel of Fortune. Did they not get the memo that Kansas City's number one in ratings for that event? I'm sure more people cared about that game than watching Ryan Seacrest in Wheel of Fortune. I'll be honest with you. You can miss it for one night. You can miss it for one night because this was the WBC. But I was shocked when you're flipping around, and even on the guide, it says WBC pregame. Now, pregame shows aren't the end-all be-all. It's the actual game you want to see. But I was shocked you're showing freaking Wheel of Fortune when WBC is supposed to have the pregame on. And I understand if you're in some market, no one's watching, you're in the number one market and you have Kansas City Royals stars and you choose to show Ryan Seacrest and Wheel of Fortune. I couldn't believe it.
I am out of the loop when it comes to ratings. Maybe the Wheel needed a boost and they knew Kansas City could provide that boost. I have no idea. To show you how out of the loop I am, is Seacrest hosting that thing now?
Yeah, he's hosting it now. But anyway, I was shocked because of what's there. If there weren't Royals in the game, it would still be big to show it, especially when Kansas City's number one. And then you have Bobby Witt Jr., the biggest baseball star in this town. 913. We have two World Series titles and four Super Bowls. Maybe I wasn't listening, misheard you. No, you misheard me. I said since 2015, which we do not have two World Series titles since 2015. We don't have four Super Bowl titles since 2015. Do me a favor, take that earwax, clear it out of your ear. We have one World Series since 15. You've got two, yes, 1985 and, of course, 2026. And believe it or not, I was at 1980 when they lost the World Series to the Philadelphia Phillies. I was in the stands for that game. Were you? That's the question. You love the text. Were you at that game? Just curious about that. Because the host that you just tweeted was. But anyway, I was shocked that was on there. And it also, it just shows you how much we love live sports. And Kansas City, are we surprised at all that Kansas City was number one on the list? I mean, literally, any kind of sporting event, Kansas City watches it, man. Kansas City loves and consumes sports. No shock to me. Whatever's on, it didn't matter if it's a luge or anything, people in this town are watching it.
Yep, absolutely. And get a chance to display that enthusiasm this summer with the World Cup coming through town. I mean, it's just one after another. It's been a great viewing time in the sports calendar. This time of year is always great. It's my favorite time of the sports calendar anyway. But you add the WBC, you add the soccer tournament coming to town this summer, it's wonderful. Yeah.
As the text line points out, it was on 4.2 on the pregame. This is true. It was via, if you have an antenna, it was on. If you have an antenna, do you really have an antenna? Would you go out and get an antenna for the NFL? I'm just saying, most people, it wasn't, you could watch it on antenna. Does it deserve the antenna with Royals players? No, it doesn't. So somebody made the decision higher up, but I digress. We still got to at least see the game. I was watching MLB Network pregame anyway. I was like, screw it, I'm just watching this.
MLB Network, the home of the manager, Mark DeRosa, who's caught a lot of heat throughout this tournament as well.
And he'll continue. Is the Alex Bregman starting over Gunnar Henderson.
Yeah, I'm tired of the Mason Miller stuff, though. Like, he was just listening to the organization that said only pitch him in a save situation.
Yeah.
And every manager respected that throughout the tournament. So
they all dealt with that.
I think that's unfair heat for DeRosa.
They all dealt with that. I mean, these teams are all over. Which brings up the question, should they play this thing at the All-Star game? You're still going to have the same questions, though. They're going to be in playoff chases and everything else. So everything that comes to the manager now from the GMs and the teams, it'll come in just the same if this thing is in the middle of the season. I know they want to put it there because guys' swings are a little bit better. Your swings are a little bit better when you're doing this in the summer instead of right now. Like, I get that, but you're still going to have all the, hey, we need to save our pitching for later.
We are going to have the way it used to be with hockey players in the Olympics when those guys weren't allowed to go. It'll look that way if baseball puts the WBC at the All-Star break. These guys won't play. Their bodies will be broken down, and they'll be giving up their time off in order to play. Right now is the perfect setup for that tournament, and they should keep it that way.
No question. Number two, the Chiefs are gearing up for the NFL draft, the 9 picks. Obviously, the draft has taken a little bit of a back page down or back seat to the NCAA tournament we're all going to be treated to. Again, this is sports craziness. Last weekend is one of the best sports days you'll have. Sunday was incredible. If you're a NASCAR fan, I love watching it. That was on. The Players' Championship was on in golf. You had that. You had the bracket released, at 5 o'clock, and then you had the WBC on that night. That was a great sports day. Of course, you get the NCAA tournament to kind of carry over. Then you get the NFL draft coming up in April. Then, of course, you're going to have the World Cup. You get Major League Baseball starting the World Cup. It's just beginning, my friend, just beginning. But we released our mock draft today on Character Concerns. I thank you for listening because people tune into it. I appreciate that because we put this thing out during the summer. Every month during the season. I know that it's not a real hot draft time earlier in the season, but you can talk about which matchups they're going against, and you watch some of these prospects. But through the 9, we stayed with wide receiver at number 9, and I have people sending me their mocks now to take a look at their mocks, and I'm blown away with the amount of people that don't have a wide receiver on there, or they got a receiver way down the list in like the 5th round, one of the 5th round picks for the Chiefs, 3 5th round. Like, okay, who's going to catch the football? The Chiefs had the smallest money being spent on wide receivers in the entire National Football League, number 32. That doesn't quite compute with having the number 1 quarterback in the NFL to have the receiving core like we do. But it's amazing just seeing one receiver like in the 5th round, something like that. Now, we went wide receiver Mekhi Lemon still with the 9th pick. I can listen to arguments, obviously, because the 29th pick does change things. But we addressed the edge with T.J. Parker at 29. Then you go right to Christian Miller at number 40, who plays all over that defensive line. 3 tech, he can play 0. I know they brought in Tonga to be on the nose, but he only plays about half the snaps. There's someone that can play the other half. We addressed backup tight end. And we had three wide receivers in this draft. You got to rebuild this room. They got to do it some way. And you don't want to pay that big tax on wide receivers like other teams are doing, like the Colts giving $29 million to Alec Pierce. This is the kind of money these guys command. This guy's never had 50 catches in the NFL. Gets $29 million on a hometown discount to stay in Indy. It would have cost at least 30 and beyond if he went to New England, if he would have left Indianapolis.
I would love to have Mekhi Lemon on this football team. So this is not a shot at you and Chris. He is my favorite receiver in this draft, and I love the prototype of receiver he is. It is not one I think the Chiefs have had. He's not the speedster gimmick guy. He's also not the go-up-and-get-it guy. He's the middle-of-the-field St. Brown, Puka, JSN type, and that's what I think Mahomes would just thrive having. Who is starting across from George Karloftis if the Chiefs played football today? It should not be Ashton Gelati.
Jelani was taking steps last year. We don't know about FAU. We haven't. I mean,
that's how bad this
is. There's no track record to prove. They need it, and they've led the NFL before with bad sack artists. Like, you look at Super Bowl 57, you wouldn't think that team had many pass rushers, would you? That team finished second in the NFL in sacks because Spagnuolo was creative with the secondary, the inside linebackers. He was getting blitzes from all over the place. They were number 2 in the NFL in sacks. They were number 2 in the NFL the following year in sacks. Now, they dropped back this past year to 22nd. They were tied with the Patriots, but they still don't have anybody to catch the football because I always think you should look at Rashee Rice, and you got to build your team not thinking about 100%. Him going forward. And I think the Chiefs dropped the ball last year, to be quite honest with you, because they knew Rashee Rice was going to be suspended. He was at least probably going to miss 4 games and ends up missing 6 at the beginning of the season. But they knew that suspension was coming. Everybody knew that suspension was coming, and they knew it. But they just drafted one receiver, and they drafted Jalen Royals, who couldn't get on the football field. And listen, I know he had knee tendonitis and stuff in training camp, but contrary to the text line, he did not go on the IR the whole season for the Chiefs. So that was their one dart they threw who didn't help them. And then guys like Keenan Allen went all the way through free agency, all the way till summer, until training camp started. to sign with the Chargers. They did not have a backup contingency plan for Rashee Rice.
And I am not pro the current state of this wide receiver room. We went through it earlier. It's pretty much the cheapest in the league. It also has one of the highest drop rates in the league. It's not good. We don't have a good long-term prognosis for Worthy, Rice, Royals, any of them. I can see that room getting better with a veteran that continues to fall through the cracks, a Jennings, a Samuel, one of these guys that you bring in for 1 year on a heavily incentivized deal, plus a day two draft pick, or going out and trading, one of those draft day trades that always happens for a Brian Thomas Jr., for a Marvin Harrison Jr., a guy like that. I can see the wide receiver room getting a lot better in those situations. I can't see a situation in which this edge room is saved unless you are picking an edge rusher at nine, or if you trade back because the guy you love is still there. Like let's say Bain is gone, but you love Falk and you can go back and get him, whatever. Picking a guy in the first round and bringing in a veteran to sort of have that rotation with Karlaftis and Gelati. So I am not satisfied with the state of this wide receiver room, but this edge problem cannot be fixed, in my opinion, without a high draft pick.
Bradley Chubb was the guy, obviously goes to Buffalo. That's a guy that you guys could have seen here. Calais Campbell still sitting out here. I know he's old, but I think the Chiefs are kind of pushing in with some of the older guys. You're bringing Kelsey back this year. He's not going beyond this year. Chris Jones doesn't have a whole lot left in the tank either. So they are kind of...
I'm in for Campbell. Rotate him and Tonga out based on what the down. Yeah.
I think the last couple of years, they tried to squeeze all the blood out of the turnip. I mean, they were just kind of rolling. Veach basically admitted it as well. Like, just see how far this thing can go, and you didn't really have that plan to see how far you could get the thing working for the Kansas City Chiefs. But I always felt like if you're going to rebuild this room, it's not through free agency with wide receivers. It's just not, because that costs big money. Juwan Jennings is a free agent. He's going to get over $20 million, probably 22. You're going to pay that for Juwan Jennings? I know he had a good Super Bowl against the Chiefs, but again, that wasn't last year either. And he's a former seventh-round pick. But this is what happens when you draft more than one receiver. You can get a Puka Nacua, who is the fourth selection for the Rams in the fifth round. You can get a Juwan Jennings in the seventh round. But you're not always right. Obviously, when you draft a fifth round or seventh rounder, it's not always going to work. But you're not taking the chance to do it. You're throwing one dart at a receiver, and you're saying you got to work out. Sky Moore, you got to work out. You're the only – Rashee Rice, you got to work out. What you did is rookie season. That worked out.
And unfortunately, they have taken that approach on the D-line. I'd love for them to take it at wide receiver. But unfortunately, they've taken that on the D-line, and it just hasn't worked. The Coburns, the Thompsons, the FAUs, the Speaks, the Passignos. If they take that position of we're going to just dart throw at wide receiver, yes, it could lead to a hit. It's more likely to. It still has to. So it's not a guarantee either that you get those guys. But, you know, I am satisfied with the spot this team is right now compared to where they were a month or two ago, because Bink, I think them trying to get all the blood out of the turnip is what they should have done, right? They were playing for a third straight Super Bowl. We knew they'd have to pay the price.
You had to wait for the wheels to fall. It was like driving an old car, right?
Yeah, and I think they've made good, savvy additions so far.
You already got that car paid off, and you're like, you know what? I'm just going to run this thing into the ground. 100%. And then I'll get something new. I think the Chiefs kind of ran it into the ground
and
before the wheels fell
they
off. And they finally did. This is what Veach had to say, by the way, about his offseason plan right before the combine.
I think every year, it's a challenge. And you know, we do have some flexibility with how we're set up to do some different things. But you know, it's not like we have $90 million in cap space. You know, we have to execute an efficient game plan and free agency. And then we got to nail these picks. And that'll be important for us to keep this run going. Obviously, we had a step back last year and everyone's disappointed, but everyone's motivated, and you know, even the coaching staff too. Like I said, the last few years we haven't had a chance to really get with them much before the combine, and right after that Vegas game, I mean, those guys were all in, and it was exciting and energetic in a way just to get out there. And I think the last few years, you know, we were kind of just like in a maintenance stage, and now we're trying to just rebuild this thing again. And I think for a GM and a personnel staff, that's exciting.
So he usually admits something at these preseason press conferences, unlike other GMs, he does. But he mentioned right there, we were just kind of in a maintenance stage. We were kind of a maintenance stage, and that's exactly what they were. They weren't exactly going forward, but had him going three, had him going heavy defensive line, obviously, with edge rusher. I love the second tier of edge rushers, by the way, the T.J. Brock Parkers, the Zion Youngs, the Gabe Jackass, and the second group of wide receivers as well. That's why if you say, all right, at number nine, you've got 100% go defense in that situation, as long as, you know, 29 and 40, you address receivers. We
Cooper,
had three receivers. Receivers being taken, you know, to kind of build up this wide receiver room for the Kansas City Chiefs, because And the other thing, too, is it reminds me of Orlando Brown. I was kind of telling you this before, like the Orlando Brown deal. The Chiefs were stuck. They were drafted at the end of the first round. They needed a left tackle. I mean, they had to get a left tackle. They were schooled in that Super Bowl against the Buccaneers, and they had to get rebuild the line. They had to get a left tackle. And the draft had tackles. The problem is they just weren't left tackles. And not only that, they weren't very good tackles. A lot of them moved the guard, the same Cosme, Liam Eichenberg, guys like that. So they didn't know what to do. So they called the Baltimore Ravens, and believe it or not, they get a tackle in Orlando Brown. They tried for Trent Williams, but he re-signed back with San Francisco. They were kind of out of options, but they wanted a proven left tackle. Kind of reminds me of wide receiver a little bit. Would I be shocked if they actually made a move for a veteran wide receiver that can catch the football and do things with Patrick Mahomes? Would that shock me? No, because you're saying, all right, we're not going to pay that big free agency tax. We'll give a draft pick this year because we like the 2027 draft better. So I get that, and you don't want to pay that heavy tax on it. And then you have to look at Andy Reid because he's going to have to turn a corner. The old dogs have to learn new tricks, right? He's never been, you know, quote, great with rookie wide receivers. Yep, Sean Jackson had a good year. You know, Xavier Worthy, 59 catches, but still under 700 yards. But he's got to turn that corner because a rookie receiver, if you did draft like a limit at 9, you got to use them. It's not training wheels. It's not go in when you can. No, it's you're going to be a number one or number two wide receiver with this team. It depends on what Rice's situation is. But we're going to depend on you going forward. So can I see them making a move if that they don't draft one at 9? 100% I can.
Yeah, and I know we're up against this, so I'll make one last point on this. Getting boxed into needing a left tackle, like the Orlando Brown Jr. situation. I think the Chiefs are one veteran move away at both edge and wide receiver from getting the whole roster to a point to where now there is no emergency. There's no fire to put out. Now, they need upgrades, but they can still play the board at 9. If a Lemon falls, they can grab him. If a Bane falls, they can grab him. If neither of them fall, you want to move back, they can do that. As currently constructed, I think they are desperate at both of these positions, and I would like to see them. And they've done that so far at safety, at corner, at running back. They've gotten out of sort of that emergency situation. And I think they're close to being able to approach the draft and play in the board.
Yeah, and again, the talent is different in the top 10. You expect different expectations.
Absolutely.
From the 816. They haven't been good at drafting wide receivers. Late. Well, Rashee Rice did hit in the second. That was the number two rookie receiver, only behind
by
Puka.
Need, though.
The year. Yeah. Well,
because they had to bring him. They needed nobody else.
And Xavier Worthy had to step up because Hollywood Brown gets hurt in game one in the preseason in Jacksonville. Then all of a sudden, game four, Rashee Rice goes down. It's like, all right, I know you're a rookie. I know you're a rookie picked at the end of the first round, and you're kind of underweight, but you got to be our number one. And that was a team riding Super Bowl success that was relying on that. So, yeah, things do change. Adam Schefter was on today with Ty Schmidt. He works on the Pat McAfee show, does like a little hitters with Adam Schefter, and he said something really interesting about who the Chiefs could still draft and who may not be going to Tennessee at number 4 and who might be a piece for Kansas City, to be honest with you. We'll discuss that next.
How would you describe yourself? Fun? Sporty? Bold? If that's the case, meet the Kia K4 hatchback, made for motion, adventure, and whatever you might decide to bring along. Or would you say you're more smooth, sleek, refined? If so, there's the Kia K4 sedan. Calm, confident, and ever so modern. Two personalities, two available turbocharged ways forward. The Kia K4 GT Line Turbo and the K4 Hatchback GT Line Turbo. What turbos you? Turbo is available on select K4 trims.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now, Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, welcome back to The Drive. Jay Binkley, Nathan Williams with you. Carrington and Rob on their way to the Papa Shot competition. So he needed to leave a tad bit early. Wish them good luck in the Papa Shot contest.
That's convenient. We go from 10 degrees to 75 degrees and see that and Rob cut out of here early, isn't it?
Well, it's going to be that way the next couple of days, I think. 85 and like 88 or something like that, or 80, maybe 85 Friday. I don't know. It's going to be nice.
It's time, man. Opening days next week. The tournament's this weekend. We finally got some sunshine. It's a wonderful time of the year, Bink.
No question about that. No question about that. Adam Schefter was on with his little podcast he does there with Ty, and he said some interesting things about a man named Jeremiah Love. And, of course, a lot of people are kind of earmarking him to go number four to the Tennessee Titans. But the Kansas City Chiefs were mentioned here as well, and I thought it was pretty interesting. Here's what Adam had to say.
And that's before, you know, they've been linked to Jeremiah Love in the draft, too, who a lot of people think he might be the best player in the draft.
Be the best player in the draft. That would surprise me if he's at four. I think the Jeremiah Love watch starts at five with the Giants, and it's on from five through nine.
Okay.
I mean, here's the thing. Would the Chiefs still take Jeremiah Love having paid Kenneth Walker? You know what I say to that? If the Falcons could take Michael Penix having paid Kirk Cousins $100 million, then the Chiefs could take Jeremiah Love having paid Kenneth Walker what they did in free agency.
Yeah, and you can play him virtually anywhere on the field.
I think
that is absolutely totally ridiculous. They're not taking Jeremiah Love. And it's funny because these national reporters and how much influence they have from the agents, right? It's just like they were talking about when Reuben Bain's arms were shorter. They came out there, some of the national reporters saying, well, but two guys had it longer or whatever. They had the arms longer, even though, you know, because the agents are talking to them because they know it could, you know, run big money. And their arms will be longer. It's a game at this point. It is a total game. It is a total smokescreen. Believe about half of what you hear right now with the NFL draft. Let me put it this way. 46 offensive linemen were at last year's combine, Nathan. Do you know how many guys' arms grew when they had their pro day? Because pro day is going on right now. USC just had theirs back. Georgia had theirs today. But the pro day season is now. 46 offensive linemen. And keep in mind the arm length thing. We joke around with Reuben Bain and all that and the short arms and stuff like that. But offensive linemen, they look at it a ton. Matter of fact, Andy Reid's never, ever drafted an offensive tackle with less than 34-inch arms. So it does matter to him, except once. Josh Simmons was 33. That was the one exception that he had. But out of the 46, can you guess how many of those guys' arms grew when they had their pro day out of 46 guys?
I was going to guess half, 28.
43.
Or that's not 23 is half. 43.
43 of the 46 guys that measured at the combine had longer arms when it came to their pro day. Yeah, and also Carnell Tate's 40. They came out there, I think it was Schefter or somebody had a report that two GMs had it faster than that or something like that. It range is like, come on, man. You know these GMs, they sit up there, they have a Starbucks in one hand and a stopwatch in the other. You're going to take that or the timed laser timing on the field? Laser starts, lasers down the track, lasers at the end, and they go back and video it and go back and watch it. Tyquan Thornton, a perfect example of this. They gave him a 4.28, even though he ran a 4.21. Then they went back and watched the video, and it was 4.28. So, yes, it's been done before. But who are you going to take? The two guys that were up there, or are you going to go with the timed laser starts?
I want to talk first about the take that Schefter gave, which is that the Falcons can pay Cousins and draft Penix. The Chiefs can pay Walker and draft Love. You know what the difference between those two organizations is one is good and one's not.
No, it's exactly right. And I was looking at a lot of these mocks, and it's still no receiver. It's like,
what are we talking about?
We're not doing it. I mean, they got to keep. Is Patrick Mahomes going to throw it and catch it too? I mean, is that what he's going to do? And to draft two running backs, or not draft two, but take a Jeremiah Love when you have a alpha running back in Kenton Walker, that's your dude. You made that decision. That is your dude. The way you're paying him, that is your guy. It's not drafting Jeremiah Love. You don't have a Bijan Robinson, Tyler Algier situation, even though both these running backs, you know, better in that case than what you had with Tyler Algier. Now, not Bijan. He's right there with them, of course. But no, and here's the thing. If Tennessee stays with Pollard, right, and all of a sudden you start seeing a slide of Jeremiah Love, because let's say Tennessee doesn't do it at four. Arizona honestly could do it at three. So let's say he makes it through Arizona and Tennessee at four. The Giants, he was, you know, hyping up the Giants could draft him with Cam Skedaboo, you know, that's in New York now. Say they don't do it. Then it's Cleveland, who got two good running backs last year in the draft. They're not doing it. And then Washington in seven, they got Bill Crosby Merritt, you know, that they really like. And Washington Commanders could be it. But then you get to eight, ETN signed with the Saints. Same type of situation. Then you have Ken Walker with the Chiefs. Jeremiah Love could only come into play, to be honest with you, if he's still sitting there. And that's what the Chiefs need to hope on draft night, that he's still sitting there. And you're starting to field calls at nine. You start to field calls for teams wanting to move up for a Jeremiah Love. Now, it sucks when you say, yeah, man, especially like if Bain's gone and Tate's gone and Lemon and the guys that you really want are gone at that point. You're sitting there at nine. All of a sudden, Jeremiah Love now becomes a huge piece. I think he's going to be gone before this. But if for some, we see slides in the draft all the time. If for some reason we see him sliding and the Chiefs were fielding calls to move back to 15, to move back to 16, Minnesota. Still take that mm-hmm. one, still have two first-round picks, have it like a 15 and 16 and at 29.
Pick up an extra pick next year.
But for Jeremiah Love yep. could be used as a nice little piece as well.
The Cardinals picking him at three would be malpractice. I think picking about any running back in the history of the NFL at three is probably a stretch. There are maybe a couple I would consider that high in the draft. And the Cardinals, why would they be doing anything besides picking in the trenches until they get their quarterback? I could at least understand from the aspect of we want to give our young quarterback all the weapons we can give him, right? With Cam Ward at four, with Jackson Dart at five, with Jaden Daniels at seven. I would understand those. The Cardinals picking Love at three would be insane. I would love it if he's sitting there at nine, but not because the Chiefs would take him, because I think they would field calls like you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm just curious, because that would be the ultimate, that would be the best situation. Because usually if you're the Chiefs, you would hope a quarterback would be there, but that's the problem with this draft for the Chiefs is that quarterback's not out there, so no one was going to trade down for the quarterback, just like when Mahomes. When the Chiefs drafted Mahomes, he was just still sitting out there. They were drafted at the end of the first round. They call Buffalo, they make a move to draft Patrick Mahomes, move up, but that quarterback doesn't exist where you'd want to trade him and get one. That's what sucks. Because these quarterbacks let everybody down this year. And then you have Dante Moore going back to Oregon, and that changed things as well of what the Jets actually going out and getting their quarterback. But Jeremiah Love could come into play is if he becomes a piece for the Kansas City Chiefs or the Saints. If the Saints at eight are in the same situation, I think it could be the Chiefs, though, because if the Saints would pass on him, I think teams would honestly think the Chiefs are going to pass him. They'd be willing to make a deal if their, quote, guys aren't sitting there in the top 10. So it is interesting to think about that as far as he is concerned. Well, coming up next, the Chiefs made it official. You know how it takes a couple days to make things official, Nate, is how it is. But Justin Fields was in Kansas City today. Matter of fact, he was wearing a Chiefs hat. He was in the building. He was saying, hi, Chiefs Kingdom. Should we expect
all good
anything
things for a Chiefs player to do, I guess?
Should we expect anything from Justin Fields? We'll talk about him next.
How would you describe yourself? Fun? Sporty? Bold? If that's the case, meet the Kia K4 hatchback, made for motion, adventure, and whatever you might decide to bring along. Or would you say you're more smooth, sleek, refined? If so, there's the Kia K4 sedan. Calm, confident, and ever so modern. Two personalities, two available turbocharged ways forward. The Kia K4 GT Line Turbo and the K4 Hatchback GT Line Turbo. What turbos you? Turbo is available on select K4 trims.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Cole Reagans from the Kansas City Royals. You're listening to The Drive with C-Dot on 96.5 The Fan.
Hey, and welcome back to The Drive. The Papa Shot getting ready to be started up at Zona Rosa. Carrington and Rob going up there to see what they can do. Going to watch first four tonight. True TV, man. True TV is where it's at, Nathan. It's the one time a year that we all look for True TV. And, you know, I remember where it's at now. I don't think I ever watch it during the year, to be honest with you, except for now.
Yeah, same with TBS. It's now and the first round of the baseball playoffs. You fire up TBS.
So true Tuesday night. Yeah, I'll be locked into the tournament Thursday and Friday. Don't forget ITAP. You can go be with Cody Golden Drew to watch the games. Always fun to go to a bar, watch the games with other people, have a little fun. I'm sure there's a lot of brackets being finalized tonight. If you wait until the first four is done before you go ahead and put them out. Have you already picked your final four yet?
I have. I have. You want to list them real quick?
Sure. Who you got?
So on the right side of the bracket, if you're looking at it, I've got Arizona and Virginia. I have Virginia taking down Michigan in the Elite Eight. On the left side, I'm taking Houston. And I don't know what to do in Kansas's region. There's about six teams I could pick, but give me UConn.
There you go.
By you, Bink.
What's that? I have Arizona winning the whole thing.
Yeah, same here.
I have Arizona winning the whole thing.
We have a Big 12 championship game rematch in the national title game.
Okay, Duke in the East, Florida in the I went with a lot of one seeds.
You went one seeds, didn't you?
I went a lot of one seeds. Well, sometimes it's there.
Yeah?
Sometimes three of the four. When Kansas won one time, won all four ones?
Yeah, I think that was kind of rare, though, for the time period. But yeah, now it's getting more chalky.
It's getting more chalky. So that Justin Fields in town, were you surprised at that deal at all with the Chiefs? Man, 53 career starts in the NFL. That part doesn't surprise me because Andy Reid likes guys that have played in the National Football League.
It did from the Chiefs' perspective a little bit because it's so different from their normal backup quarterback mold. But I love it for Justin Fields. Maybe he can make a few starts. Maybe he can have a few design plays throughout the season. More than anything, he gets his chance to have his Daniel Jones, Malik Willis type arc of his career and get a starting job next year. So I love this from the Justin Fields angle himself.
I'm okay with it. I like the fact that he runs so well. He has 1,143 yards 1 year in the NFL rushing. Yeah. He just turned 27 on March 5th. And keep this in mind. Ken Walker has never had as many yards in one season as what Justin Fields has had at the quarterback position. But again, I think there's a lot of trick plays that you can do. Don't want to see him in key trick plays. Let's face it, on third downs, fourth downs, I think there's trick plays you could put out, even with Mahomes on the field. I think they're going to have some fun with him as an offensive weapon.
I was telling Logan this the other night on After Hours. Are you ready for the one Sunday where they roll out, it's fourth and one, it's a big situation, they're in the red zone, and they roll out a direct snap to Xavier Worthy, and he pitches it to Justin Fields, or just something nasty in the backfield, and the text line's going to be hot. I can't wait.
It'll happen. Well, we'll fill you in on the tournament tomorrow. I'll give you all the scores throughout the day. I'll be doing that tomorrow night as well. Thanks, Nathan Williams. Appreciate it. Everybody have a safe drive out there. Go enjoy the Papa Shot. Talk to you later.
How would you describe yourself? Fun? Sporty? Bold? If that's the case, meet the Kia K4 hatchback, made for motion, adventure, and whatever you might decide to bring along. Or would you say you're more smooth, sleek, refined? If so, there's the Kia K4 sedan. Calm, confident, and ever so modern. Two personalities, two available turbocharged ways forward. The Kia K4 GT Line Turbo and the K4 Hatchback GT Line Turbo. What turbos you? Turbo is available on select K4 trims.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back, and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.